persuaded that you got to have a true ultimate relationship with God, not on based upon what we think, not based upon what someone else is thinking. We have to have a personal relationship with the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord, and I'm just going to minister to you a little bit. And, you know, my heart has been heavy in the last couple of months because of so many things that we've been hearing and experiencing, and not just in my personal life, but in the life of the church. And there have been a number of articles. Matter of fact, there is a clarion call that has went out, and it is Billy Graham's daughter just sent out a clarion call to all churches across the nation to pray this month, this 7 month, and to pray for an awakening in the body of Christ. And here, especially here in America, where we need such a awakening, you know, there is a song, and it's always been in my heart since I heard it, and it's Falling in Love with Him Again and Again. And that song has been down in my spirit so much, and I have to give the musicians the keys and all that stuff, or give them how it sounds. But it says falling in love again and again, and the premise is on the fact that as you get that deeper relationship with Him, you fall in love with Him again, because there's something fresh and something new. And what the enemy is trying to make you think, or trying to make the body of Christ think, that there's nothing fresh and new about God. The devil is a liar. There's always something fresh and new about God. It's just that we have to tap into it to receive it. Amen. And when we read in the book of Acts and we see all the things that they were doing and all the experience that they had with God, I know sometimes we, in today's time, we scratch our heads and says, where is the miracles of the book of Acts, and where are manifestation of God in the book of Acts? Well, you have to kind of look at what's going on, or what had went on in the book of Acts, in order for you to mimic that, because the word of God is God's heart, and He gives us a pattern, if you allow me to say that. He gives us a pattern, which is a pattern that actually follows His heart. That's really the pattern of God, that you follow His heart. And so when we look into the scriptures and we look at and read and we see all the manifestations of God that He did for His people back then, we sometimes scratch our head and says, where is the God of the book of Acts? Where is the God of the apostles? Well, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? And if He has not changed, that means something has changed. And it's not God, so it has to be us. And if you read in the book of Acts real carefully, if you do a study of the book of Acts, then all of us, including myself, will fall shame to what they did. These individuals were in prayer three times a day. They were in fellowship with each other consistently. They had all things common. They prayed for one another. They prayed and things happened. The prayer that they had was, they were in such unity, there was such oneness of the Spirit, that when they prayed, the place in where they were praying was shaken by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. When they went into cities, they turned the cities upside down. They changed the economy of the city. Amen. Sorcerers and demons were running the city. But when the word of God came in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter number 19, it says that the coppersmith at that time that was making statues, he was making statues, and he was selling those statues, and it became a big economy structure inside of that particular city. But when they came in and preached the gospel, the sorcerer, or the people of that city, the ones that were making the tinsmith, making the tin and all that kind of stuff, stopped having sales. It turned the economy around, because truth was now brought. And when truth is brought, guess what? Glory comes and manifestation comes, and things turn around. And they were no longer under the oppression of the enemy, but they were free. And they were free to worship God. And they were free to give him glory and honor and give him all their heart. And the enemy got mad. And I don't know why we always think that everything should be just so natural. The enemy will get mad at you when you start pressing into God. And so what he will try to do is he'll put up roadblocks. He'll put up things in your life to try to stop you. And he'll try to whisper to you. And I want everybody to understand something. The enemy is whispering to you all the time. And this is why our young people, we got to pray for our young people that their ears will hear the voice of God. Because what they're hearing is not from God. What they're hearing is from the enemy. Amen. I have to say amen to myself. Amen. What they're hearing is not the words of the Lord. They're hearing things of the enemy. And so what we are finding is that everything that is happening, everything that is transpiring, is come against the new creation that is in you. How many know you're a new creation in Christ Jesus? How many know that? You got to come into new creation reality. The new creation reality is understanding who you are in Christ. Understanding who you are in Christ. You see, if you're affected by what's going on in your life and the things that the enemy is putting in your life, and you're affected by other people, and you're affected by this, that, and the other, then what you have done is you have allowed the enemy to infiltrate who you really are. That does not mean that things will not affect you from a human standpoint. But because you know God and because you have the Holy Spirit in us, you ought to know that if something opposes you, something will rise up against that thing that is opposing you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The enemy is out to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. You need to understand that, and I pray, and I ask God, Lord, what is it that we can say to get across the people of God that there is an enemy that has placed himself in your way to try to destroy what God is trying to do in your life. And all the dreams that God has given you, dreams that God has given you concerning ministry, dreams regarding relationships, and dreams regarding those things. I'm talking about godly relationships. I'm talking about true things that God has ordained for you. The enemy is trying to take those things away from you and trying to destroy you by causing you to believe that God is not going to do it. The devil is a liar and a father of it. You and I must come to that conclusion. The enemy is your enemy. He is not your friend. Even if you cry, even if you stomp, even if you have tears in your eyes, the enemy will look at you and keep on destroying your life. He does not care about you at all. And the one that cares about us the most, we oppose. God help us in the body of Christ today. There is a call out to the body of Christ today to get back to the basics of God's relationship. Get back to the basic things that made him great in us, that made things happen inside of the church. And I believe, and maybe some of you don't, but I believe that God is not coming back. Christ is not ascending for heaven for a church less powerful than what he left. But he's looking for a remnant that will stand up, young, old, middle age. He's looking for someone to stand up and declare his word no matter what they say against you. Now, let me tell you something. They are killing Christians in nations overseas. They are killing them. All because of the fact that they name the name of the Lord. And they are messing with our rights to worship. And don't think for one second that you're going to sit here year after year and the enemy's not going to never come in and try to close the church down, try to shut your mouth, try to do this, that, and the other. We already know what's going on, but we become blind to it and we don't do anything about it. We talk about each other instead of talking and coming against the enemy. Ain't nobody saying too much. We have got to get back down to the manifestation of God's glory and power and manifested power and living the life that denotes who we serve. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You want your dreams to come to pass, and I know a lot of young people and some of the middle-aged ones and even some of the older ones, we want to have grandeur in this life. We want to live a prosperous life, and we are trying everything in our minds and hearts to obtain that, but we need to stop it. We need to seek the kingdom of God first. Seek his righteousness first, and he said he will add all these things to you. He will give you the new ideas. He will open up the doorways. He will send you the right people. He will send you the anointed people in your life so that you can live a prosperous life with persecution. That's just the basic Bible. And the thing that we are doing is that we are allowing the enemy to take away the very thing that we hold so dear to us. Our spirit-filled lives. Anybody saying too much? The church is not a gathering of a social network. When we come into the house of God, we come to minister to the King of Glory, and we come to allow him to demonstrate and to build us up and to edify us and to go out and change the world that we encounter, that we live in. Anybody saying too much? But our lives have become so filled with busyness. We're so busy. We're so busy. Now think about it. They've taken surveys and they've taken them. I'm going to call the scripture in a minute. But they've taken surveys and they've taken all these things. And they said the Church of America is on a decline. And they said by 2025, they says the Church of America, the Christian Church of America, will be one of the smallest entities. And I'm telling you right now, the devil is a liar. And I'm going to say something, and maybe some of you may not like it. But we allow the foreign gods to come in. And it affected us. And you want to know why you can't really worship? It's because the foreign gods have taken over. I understand more about the dream that I had a couple of months ago that I told you about than I had, where I was standing at my place of work, which I'm right downtown, and I can see across the border of Canada. And when I look, when in this dream, I was looking out, and there was this dark cloud that was coming. And it was like a stream, like a cloud that was like totally dark, coming from America to Canada. And as I looked closer, there were all kinds of demonic demons. As I saw them cross the river and cross over to Canada, coming from America. And the false gods are infiltrating our society, and they're moving across the land to set the stage for the false gods or the Antichrist in disputing Christianity. All this is part of the demonic powers that are taking over, and many of us don't know those dark clouds are affecting us. And am I saying too much? They're affecting your life. They're affecting my life. They're affecting all of us' life. That's why you're working overtime at work. That's why you're having such a hard time praying. That's why it seems like church is not interesting anymore. Or God's power isn't interesting to us anymore. Or the reverence of God isn't interesting to us more, because there's darkness all around us. But somebody's got to be able to stand up and break through the darkness. And go through and pierce through the darkness and reveal the light in the midst of darkness. Somebody's got to stand up and still declare that there is God is still in the place. Somebody's got to stand up and still declare that there is God inside of us. Somebody's got to declare the Holy Ghost is still alive and is still a mighty burning fire. Somebody's got to declare that holiness is still right. Somebody's got to be able to say that praises unto the King, it's all right to sing praises unto the King of Glory. It's all right to stand up for what is right and put down what is wrong. And it's all right to say, you know what? We are not voting for homosexuality. It's all right to say we're standing up for truth. We're standing up for purity. We're standing up for righteousness. We're standing up for the kingdom of glory. It's all right to say that because that's God. No matter what laws they pass, we ought to stand up and say, for God we live and for God we die. And I know that many of us can't sit there and say, well, if death come and they tell you to deny Christ or die or have your head chopped off or you get shot, I don't know how many of us was able to stand up there, but for the grace of God. Until we get, and I'm persuaded of this, until we get everybody, me, you, everybody. I'm talking to everybody because the Holy Spirit is talking to us. Everybody. Until we can get to a true reality and relationship with the King of Glory, you and I are going to have troubles. Even if you start with 10 minutes of prayer, 3 times a day, that's better than no prayer. Even if you have to, even if you have to make yourself buy somebody some lunch to show them some love, it's better to do a McDonald's and not nothing at all. Show them the life. Because today a lot of people, they look at what you're doing and they don't see what God is doing. It's better for you to show them than just tell them. And while you're showing them, then you, when they ask you the question, be ready to answer them. And I know we have things like witnessing tools and all that kind of stuff that we talk about. We go out and witness and all that kind of stuff like that. But the greatest witness is God's presence. Anybody saying too much? The greatest witness is God's presence. That's why he gave me the Holy Spirit. All right. Let me finish up here real quickly. Go to St. John chapter number 10. You got to be hungry enough to want to operate in the Holy Ghost. People do not talk about the Holy Ghost that much today. We talk about prosperity. We talk about the Holy Ghost as an avenue or in order to get rich. We talk about the Holy Ghost as something as he's passive. The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is he that is in us. Hallelujah. And he is performing the will of God according to what God has declared in his word. St. John chapter number 10. I'm going to read from the International Version. It says in yours, if you got King James, you'll probably read it. But the thief cometh only to do what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Let me just tell you, from the time in which you are born, you have a demonic assignment. Everybody understand that? Please understand what I'm saying to you. From the time in which you are born, you have a demonic assignment. There is a demon assigned to you. You don't see it with your visible eye, but he is assigned to you even before you are born. When you are in your mother's womb, the enemy has a plan for you. And at the same time, God has a plan for you. I'm trying to step you through this real quickly. God has a plan for you, and the enemy has a plan for you. God's plan is to take you to your expected end. God's thoughts about you are good thoughts. Never ever to take you down, but always to take you to your expected end. And his expected end for your life is a prosperous life in the kingdom. Understanding who you are in the kingdom, understanding how to operate in the kingdom, and understand that your mission in this earth is to destroy the works of the enemy and glorify God in your life. That's about as simply as I can put it. All right? all that requires you to live a steadfast life in the kingdom of God and oppose anything that comes against the kingdom. The Bible also says that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And while we are in this world, when we're born in this world, it is God's purpose to feed you his knowledge so you understand who you are in him. But the enemy plan for you is for you to be born and destroy you before you even get to your expected end. Before you even have a dream. Before you even be able to affect society. Before you even open your mouth up and declare that God is God and beside him there is no other. His plan is to destroy you, and his plan is to destroy you by self-indulgence. What do you mean by self-indulgence? The enemy uses you in the emptiness, in the dark places of your heart, to destroy what God is trying to do in your life. That's what he does. Now, you might think, you know, well, God is all powerful and he can do anything, but and I believe that God can do anything but fail, but God has given us some responsibility, and I believe that many of us that are in the body of Christ have voided our responsibility, so we think God's going to do everything, and we do nothing. We have to do something. We have to open our mouths up and declare God. We have to position ourselves by the grace of God to live the life of the kingdom to reflect who he is in our life. We have to know that we are anointed by God with power and with his glory. We have to know that we have the Holy Ghost. We have to know that we are his children. We have to know who we are in him. We have to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have to know that I am the head and not the tail. We have to know that I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. We have to know that I'm in Christ and Christ in me, and we are one in him. That's how we have to know who we are. But the enemy wants to distort that. The enemy wants to cause disappointment to come to you. The enemy wants you to cause you to not believe what God has told you by allowing and hindering the thing that you pray for. You are so powerful in God that God hears you when you open your mouth up to pray. The very first time you open your mouth up and come boldly to the throne of grace, God has heard you and he's already prepared to send your answer. So let me tell you, all your prayers that is in a, listen to me real carefully, all your prayers that are in line with God's word are yes, you can have that. Yes, you can have that because that's in line with his word. Yes, that's yours. Yes, that's yours. God's promises for your life are yea and amen. God is of no respect of person, so he can't promise you something and say you can't have that promise. The promise is for all of us. All you have to do is walk in it, believe it, and progress in the promises and understand those promises are yours, and God has an appointed time for them to come to you. Now listen, when those promises come to you, they come to you based on your ability, listen, to submit yourself to the purpose and plan of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. Here's a good example. Here is Paul the Apostle. Everybody know Paul, right? Everybody know Paul? Now look at Paul and look at the apostles. There's 12 apostles that walked with Jesus 3.5 years. At the end of 3.5 years, they forsook him and ran off. And then they came back. They were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And they began to do their ministry. Anybody agree with that? Is that the scripture? Yes? No? Okay. Okay. Here's Apostle Paul that was a bad man. He was knowledgeable of all the laws because he sat under the feet of Gamaliel. Yes or no? He was so cunning and so well known that his words to the parliament and to the Pharisees and scribes struck a chord with them, and he came in there and said, you know what, they're going against God, so we're going to go against them. Give me papers, I'll go into every door and I will kill them and pull them out, and I will I will destroy this movement called the Way. Paul went out, did the work, killing the Christians, putting them in jail, watching them while they die, while they're stoning them. And he's sitting on the side with his coat, with the papers in his hand, authorizing him to do this. Right? Until he encountered the wrong one. He encountered Jesus. He was on his way, and Jesus came and knocked him off of his horse. He said, why are you persecuting him? He said, who art thou? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. He says, I want you to go down here to see this person, and I want you to hear and do what they tell you. Jesus himself didn't even give the gospel to him. That's how powerful you are, have a purpose in this earth. God, Jesus won't even give them the gospel because he gave it to you. Yeah, you let that marinate a little bit. The angel couldn't even tell them what to do. He had to go tell them to see a man, because that's how powerful the gospel of reconciliation has been given to us. You are the ones that's going to preach the gospel. God may send them to you, but you have a responsibility to tell them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, after he got knocked off the horse, after he was blind for a season, he went down and Ananias laid his hands on him, and he received his sight. And the Bible says straightway he went preaching. Straightway he went preaching. Right? And when he went preaching, straightway they began to oppose him. They opposed him and began to chase after him, to the point where he had to be ran away in the desert for 2 years. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make. 3.5 years that the disciples have been with Jesus to understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. Here is Paul, in the time almost immediately there was a transition that happened to him, and he submitted himself to the will of God, so much so in that saving process that he went straightway preaching the gospel. He didn't have to go to seminary. He didn't have to go and learn all the Greek and the Hebrew and all that. He went straightway preaching the gospel. And when he went straightway preaching the gospel, people were saved by his words. But because the enemy opposed him, he was chased away in the desert for almost two years. Now, let me tell you something. God wanted to perfect him in his character and perfect him in him, so God had to push him out by persecution. And when persecution comes to you, sometimes the persecution isn't for you to come against the enemy. Sometimes for you to get out. To you to go somewhere where God can talk to you, where God can minister to you. Sometimes too much church can harm you. Anybody saying too much? Because in church is a mess. It's a mess. And let me inform all of you that says church is a mess and say, yes, I know it is. But the mess is supposed to be here. That's where we come to get perfected. The mess gets perfected in the church. So bring everything you have. Bring the garbage. Bring the mess. Bring all of it. Because in the church of the living God is where we are perfected. Number one. Number two, we do understand and we begin to work in the ministry. And number three, we are edified together. We are built up together. And here's the other thing that we did that is not in this category, but it's in the category that most people just overlook. Judgment begins at the house of God. That means that you and I have a responsibility that when we come into the house of God and we hear the word of the Lord, we have to judge ourselves. Anybody saying too much? So when the word comes to you, you got to judge yourself. Where are you? God is asking every one of us right now, where are you? You know, he told Adam that, where art thou? And God is saying right now, where are you? Where are you? He's looking for you because you're not at the prayer closet where he told you to go. You're not at the corner where he appointed you to preach to somebody because somebody's supposed to meet you there. You're not over here where you're supposed to preach to 3 and 4 and 5 people. And I'm not talking about having a mic in your hand, but just a gathering, maybe at Starbucks. You see, but we don't think of things like that. We don't think that God is leading us down our pathway. We think that everything has to do with, I'm going to do my thing and this and other. And we don't think that God is going to take you out of your comfort zone, put you in a zone that's not comfortable so somebody can encounter God through you. We don't think that. We don't think that God is going to encounter a person on the street. Because we're not listening, we're not hearing, because we allow the thief to take our hearing away. And listen, I'm not here to try to shout you. I'm here to try to make some sense of the mess that we're all in so that we can have some shouting, so we have some joy, so we can. I haven't seen so many sad Christians. I mean, even in the day where most Christians was high, they still was happy. They come to church, they still jump. Today, we're sad as sad can be. Who wants a sad God? Who wants a God that is sad? Who wants to serve a God that seems like never do anything? They're flocking to Muslimism. They're flocking to those religions. And you have to scratch your head and say, why? There's no power. There's no demonstration. We have the Holy Ghost, and we're running away from the very thing that has empowered us. Why? Why? Why would we go serve an empty God that has no power when we have a God with all power? Why would we run there? Why would we testify? Or why would we entertain that kind of thing? I love Jehovah's Witnesses. I invite them in all the time, but for some reason they don't want to talk to me. I'll be at the gas station, and they from gas says, I have a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, I said, yeah. And they said, do you have a few minutes to talk? Yeah. I have a few minutes to talk. They said, I says, do you know Jesus? I most certainly do. Do you know that he was a prophet? I most certainly do. Do you know that that the world's gonna end? I most certainly do. Hallelujah. Well, Jehovah, who is Jehovah? He's all powerful. Did you know that Jesus is he? They're one and one. They are one and the same. No, they're not. Yes, they are. We can talk about it a little bit more. If you just want to stay a little while, I'll talk to you about it. Well, sir, we if you take our flyer, we'll talk to you later. I can't seem to get nobody to talk to me. I have like 3 and 4 of them come up to me, and nobody wants to talk to me after a while. Do you know why? I know whom I believe. I'm going to stand up for Jesus no matter what. And it doesn't matter about how much you know about him. All you got to do is be persuaded by him. You need to. I'm hoping that they come and sit down and have coffee at my door. They used to come to my door and they used to ring the doorbell on Saturday morning. And Bernadette says, "Well, don't let them in." I said, "Why not? We can let them in. Come on, they can come on in. We're gonna be here for hours. Yeah, we'll be here for hours. But that's all right with me. I'll take care of it. You just go fix coffee and let's all sit down and have a good time in Jesus. Because I'm persuaded I can persuade them." I'm persuaded that I will show them something and tell them something that will persuade them that God is God. And beside him there is a, and his name is Jesus. You got to be persuaded with yourself. But we're not persuaded today. The lady on the airways, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. The lady on the airways and those that are sick in your household, those that are sick in your homes, those are your cousins, your nephews and all, those people that are sick, you need to take the responsibility to go there and say, in the name of Jesus, show your power and show the kingdom and let that person raise up and declare that God is God. We're so timid with the gospel. And the gospel is a gospel of power and persuasion. But the enemy has taken it away from us. And so now we're scratching and calling and crying and all that. There's no reason to cry unless you love Jesus. Unless your heart is heavy because the hearts of the people have fallen dull. Their ears have fallen dull to hearing. It's a hard thing today to pastor. I've talked to other pastors and they said, I just don't know what's wrong with the people today. I don't know. He said, we call for prayer meeting, we call this, and then they just don't come. They don't come. You had to think about that. You have to really think about that. Here is God that has all power, that shows manifestation and shows power. And in the foreign, especially in countries across the world, you're seeing and hearing about all kinds of miracles and manifestations that are happening. And here in America, you hardly hear anything that's going on. People are running away instead of flocking to. What does that mean? That means that we, that as God's people, have an issue. That means we got to get back to the basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the enemy has stolen from us. And now it's time for us to come boldly before the throne of grace and ask God to give us a heart of repentance and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, turn from our wicked, malicious ways and run back to him, back unto his safety, and begin to ask God to heal us and forgive us and change us so that we can change the world around us. Are you listening to me? I know we want to shout and all that, but you know what? You can shout by just understanding God's presence is here. You can shout. You don't have to. See, people monitor the atmosphere. That's what people do. They monitor it. And then they allow the atmosphere to dictate to them what it's going to be like. But you got to change that around. The atmosphere doesn't dictate to the child of God what it should be like. We are the children of God. We dictate to the atmosphere. We say, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Can y'all repeat that with me? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That means you have the ability to say it and change it. No reason why you should walk in and things as dead as a doornail. You got resurrection power in your voice. You got resurrection power inside of you that you can resurrect the atmosphere that we charge with the power of God, so somebody can get the manifestation of God's healing and power and get delivered. Or unless you want to stay in bondage. Now look at our young people today. There's groups of young people around the country that are excited about God. They're just like ecstatic about him. And we're letting the enemy take our young people away. We're letting the enemy take them away into darkness. Sister Lewis, she had mentioned in Bible class that she teaches 8 year old, and she talked about that in eight, nine year olds, they know more about sex than maybe some of us do. They know about oral sex, yes, I said it. Because they know about it, and we blind our eyes to it. They know about that. They know about killing. They know about murder. They know about this. They know about that. They live in a lifestyle that is built upon games with no parental guidance at all. And so they're growing up by themselves. I know we don't want to talk about it. We're allowing our children to be trafficked. Sex trade, how many of you we've heard about the things that are going out where kids are selling their young people for sex? I mean, the adults' parents are selling their young people for sex. We're seeing all this stuff happening. And we sit in the church and we won't pray. We sit at our homes and we entertain ourselves. We don't have a yearning for God. We don't have a drive for the heart of God. We get up in the morning when it's to come to corporate worship and our hearts are heavy. And we drag that heaviness into the place of worship. And we're burdened down. And the scripture is very clear on how to get rid of that. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you come in, you ought to worship like you never worshiped before. You ought to praise God like it's like he's like you're just gone out of your mind. But we don't. Our drive is gone. Our love is in question. The fire that is burning inside of us has kettled slowly. We all have to judge ourselves and question ourselves. That's why I'm talking to you. You got to question yourself. Where are I? Where am I? Am I contributing to the fire, or I'm withdrawing from the fire? Because it doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as the church is preaching truth. You got to have the same fire there as anywhere else. And you can't be motivated by the other people. You got to motivate yourself. You can't be motivated by people. You can't be motivated by ministers. You can't be ministers become the cheerleaders of the church. And worshipers have become the cheerleaders of the church. Why do I need a cheerleader when I'm a cheerleader myself? Why do I need a cheerleader? I ought to come ready. If everyone, just think about it. And I'm almost finished. Just think about this. If everybody in here, every single person in here right now, we have a fire in their heart for God, a miracle would just pop right up. Just like that. Just like that. I've seen it before. I've seen it happen. If everybody is on one accord, guess what will happen? God's power manifests and you'll be edified beyond your imagination. The thing that is going on in your home, it would break immediately. The dream that's been 20 years from yesterday that you've been dreaming about and dreaming here, all of a sudden it will start manifesting. Because now there is no blockage and there is no enemy that is trying to hold you back because you took care of the enemy with your praise. Praise is a powerful weapon for those that sing under with the understanding that the yoke is going to be destroyed because of my praise. Anybody, you understand what I'm saying? We're so lackadaisical now in the body of Christ. And so our hearts are heavy and we're praying and there's a clarion call out there. Come back to prayer. Come back to worship. Come back to manifest God's power and presence. Come back to singing under the anointing and not under the influence of a song. Play under the anointing. It doesn't matter about how you feel. Because you're human, we're going to be up and down all the time. But you got to understand that because I'm in him and he's in me, I'm going to give him everything that I have in spite of. Of what I'm going through, I'm giving him praise. In spite of them coming against me, I'm giving him praise. In spite of the situation in my life, I'm going to give him praise. In spite of you talking about it, I'm going to still give him praise. In spite of you looking at me funny, I'm still going to give him praise. In spite of the disease in my body, I'm still going to give him praise. In spite of I'm maybe not able to walk, I'm still going to give him praise. In spite of those enemies that come against me like a flood, in spite, I'm still going to give God praise because he deserved the praise. He saved me. He took me from the hands of the pit. And that alone, I'll give him praise. Because after it's all over, I'm saved. All this stuff you're going through right down here don't mean nothing. You mad at this one? This one mad at you? This one did that? All that kind of it's foolishness. Get over and grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Y'all know how y'all ignore some people.
Just ignore the devil. They start talking and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm giving God praise anyhow. Instead of what you do is that you wear it on your face and your back. And when you wear it on your face and your back, it holds you down because it's a burden. It's a weight. And guess what? When you're holding us down, I mean, you hold yourself down, you're holding us down too. Your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. For the King of glory has come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Anybody understand? Anybody understand? You are mighty in God. And the thief wants to take away your joy, your security, your words. God has given some of you a specific word for your life. A specific word for your life, and what the enemy has done is he's trying to take that word, steal that word from you so it could never come to pass, so you out of your mouth you can defame God. Thank God he didn't do it. No. Guess what? You didn't come into agreement. You came in agreement with the enemy, and if you came into agreement with the enemy, then that means that you have said the enemy, I agree with you. God is not God. You ought to hear what I said. When you agree with the enemy, what you say in agreeing with the enemy is that God is not God. So if you can't say nothing at all, don't say nothing. Keep your mouth shut until you come into faith and say, and out of your belly comes a word that says, my God, you live. My God, the promises are yea and amen. And I agree with the promise of God for my life. And when I agree with that, God will begin to work it out for you on your behalf. Hallelujah. Come, let's stand. I know it's summertime and, you know, people are on vacationing and all that kind of stuff, and that's good. But saints of the Most High God, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the basics of Pentecost. You might not want to call it Pentecost, but just let's say get back to the basics of the scriptures. The enemy has stolen so much from us. It's really a sad day in some things, but it's a wonderful day in the kingdom. And God loves you so very much, every one of you, every one of you under the sound of my voice, God loves you so very much. His love for you cannot even be measured. His love for you is just amazing. And God is trying to tell everybody something. He's trying to tell me, he's trying to tell you, the body of Christ. And many people forget this. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And he says, when I come back, will I find faith? When he come back, will he find you? Will he find your life in agreement with what he has given you? Will you finish your work? Will you finish your course? Or will you allow the enemy to steal from you the destiny that God has for you? Both young and old, doesn't matter. There's an appointed time. We allow the enemy to steal it from you. We allow the enemy to steal from you your health so that you can't praise God. We allow the enemy to whisper in your ear, no one loves you. No one will ever love you. And so you walk around with that. We allow the enemy to whisper in your ears that you will never be nothing because Someone told you that when you were this small, and the enemy is all through your life consistently telling you, you're nothing. And God is saying that you're more than a conqueror through me who loves you. God loves you so very much, and most of us don't even realize it, how much he loves you. And when you sit there and say, Lord, I don't know why you didn't do that, the tear comes into his eye. And he says, I didn't do it. I'm ready to do it. All you have to do is believe I can do it. All you got to do is speak it out and watch me perform it. Look how powerful the word of God is, that God says, my word will not come back to me void, but it will accomplish where I have sent it, because I watch over it to make sure it's performed. So the promise is that in your life, hey and amen. The promises that God has for you are yea and amen. He loves you so very much. How do you know that he loves you? And I can hear some of you saying, you know, I want to think that God loves me, but it's hard. It's hard to think that God loves me after I see all the things that have happened in my life. But I want to tell you a little secret. If your life has been so hard, if your life seemed like it's been a wave of destruction time and time again, it's because God holds you so precious. And the enemy knows that you're that precious. That's why he's trying to destroy you. Because he knows that God's favor is upon your life. God's favor is so much on your life that the enemy knows it. And he's trying to take that favor away from you. Because if he didn't have it, he surely wouldn't come after you. And that's why it's so important to understand that the promises that God has promised you are yea and amen. If you didn't cry at night because of all the things that are going on in your life, you would know that God was right there when the tears are running down your pillow. Because you're still here. You're still coming to church. You're still pressing through. You're still walking it out. You're still walking it out, even though that sometimes you feel like stopping and sitting down. But you're still walking it out. You're still here. You're still here. And that's nothing but God's amazing grace. His amazing love for you. Life seems so hard at times, and I can tell you it seems so hard at times, and all the things that you go through and all the persecution and all the things that people have come against you and said about you and did this and said this and that, everything that you do will go to trash and it'll never accomplish it. It's hard to have the enemy keep repeating those words back to you constantly through other people in your mind. In the middle of the night, especially when things are silent and you can hear the enemy whispering in your ear, you see, you'll never do it. Look at the situation. He'll start flashing those visions of this situation, that situation, that shows that you've been a failure. It shows that you'll never, ever accomplish it. You'll never, ever, he'll tell you, give you that curse and say, you'll never get married because no one will never love you. He'll tell you that. He'll say that you'll never be able to accomplish a business, a successful business. You'll be in poverty all of your life. You don't have an idea. You don't know how to conduct a business. He'll tell you that. But we always forget one thing, and he don't want you to start meditating on the Lord. He don't want you to start meditating on the songs in the night. The one that things that comfort you and says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He don't want you to say the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He don't want you to say that. He don't want you to start meditating that the Lord is my fortress. He is my shield and he is my buckler. He don't want you to start meditating on that word, because when you start meditating on that, then an image comes. Jesus stands up mightily in your life and says, you know what? You're more than a conqueror through me that loves you. See, that's why he don't want you to meditate on the word. That's why the Bible said, think on these things. Be reminded of these things. You remember when you were first illuminating, when you first got saved, and how strong you was in the Lord when you first got saved, and guess what? It seemed like nothing was impossible in your life. You were strong, and you knew that for God I live and for God I die. Hallelujah. You didn't care what was going on. I remember my first guy said, it didn't matter what you said. I'm going to come against you. And even though I didn't have no power, I was still coming against you. I was like Joshua. Who are you? The Lord. He's talking to an angel, a mighty angel with a sword. And Joshua was saying, you know what? I'm gonna come against you. Whose side are you on? He said, I'm on no side. I am what? I am the head of the army of the angels of the Lord. Joshua didn't have nothing going on when he came against the angel, but he was going to still fight him anyway. And you got to have that kind of boldness to come against what the enemy is doing in your life. You got to come against him and say, you know what? For God I live, for God I lie, I'm going to slay you, because God is with me. My dreams are coming to pass. You got to say that. You got to declare that. My dreams are coming to pass. I am going to reach my expected end. I'm going to press my way. The race is not given to the swift. It's not given to the strong. It's not given to the mighty, but it's given to them that endure. So I'm going to endure to the end. Yes, I'm going to have a couple of stripes on me. Yes, you're going to get a couple of scars. Yes, you're going to get hurt sometimes. Yes, people are going to oppose you. Yes, things are going to happen to you. Yes, we are in a warfare, so it's expected to happen. So, but while you're in warfare, know that you're coming out victorious, because the battle has already been won. Already won. It's already yours. So you just ought to praise him. And lift your hands and give him glory and praise and honor. I will praise you. And I will